We follow today's gospel from the beginning through the conclusion, through its various stages. We see the way in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ seeks to transform not only himself, you know, to not transform so much as transfigure himself before them, but transfiguration really signifies and is meant to aid the apostles in their own transformation, their own transfiguration, if you will. When our Lord takes his apostles up to the mountain of Tabor, he takes those who are closest to him, those for whom he has a special predilection and who form the inner circle of the apostles, Peter, James, and John. And he takes them up onto the high mountain for a special revelation. If we think about that for a moment, we know that St. John at the foot of the cross, the beloved disciple, is there for the same reason and is spoken to with Our Lady for the same reason. He is our Lord's beloved disciple. And yet that passage signifies each and every one of us. There is a sense in which all of us are called to the inner circle and to see the things that only our Lord's dearest friends see. And so our Lord takes his friends up onto the mountain, and he does so in an ordinary way. You know, he takes them, he walks with them to the mountain, guides them there as his friends, and when he reaches the mountain, he is transfigured before them. The veil that covers the glory of God is removed, and they see him as he really is, not in his divine nature, but the veil covering the glory that resides in the divine nature is removed. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the real miracle here is not that he is transfigured and he appears before them as bright as the sun. But rather, the fact that he didn't always appear that way was the real miracle. So our Lord reveals himself to them, to his inner circle, in a special way, and he prepares them to understand the mystery of the deeper mystery of his sacred humanity and the fact that he is going to suffer and die on the cross. And he hopes that this revelation will strengthen them and prevent them from falling away. Moses and Elias are there present, giving witness to who Jesus is, Moses representing the law and Elias representing the prophets. And I think St. Luke's gospel, they're talking to each other, Moses and Elias, and they're talking about the Passover, the transitus that our Lord is to accomplish in Jerusalem. In other words, they're talking about our Lord's suffering and death. So not only is our Lord there transfigured, but also the great witnesses of who our Lord is, Moses and Elias, are also bearing witness and preparing the apostles for what they're about to experience. And so, in our Lord's suffering and death. And so this is meant to be a revelation, a consolation, and this is exactly how Peter experiences it. It's good for us to be here, Lord. We don't want to leave. Let's just stay here. Let's set up a place for you and Moses and Elijah to stay, and we'll be happy with that. We'll be happy just to stay here with you and experience and witness what is taking place before us. And in a sense, it's kind of a holy delirium on the part of Peter, who loses track of ordinary common sense daily life and decides that he's found what he wants and he never wants to leave. So there is this experience of revelation, glory, and consolation. But then immediately after that, there is the cloud that blows in and overshadows them. And out of the cloud comes a voice from the Father. And it is now something akin to the way in which God revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. Still glory, but now something actually rather fearful. So fearful, in fact, that the apostles fall onto the ground face down. And they're very much afraid. So it goes from an experience of consolation to one of actual fear. And they hear this commanding voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so the Heavenly Father speaking audibly to the apostles is emphasizing to them in this rather fearful way that they really need to take heed to what they have been privileged to. Again, our Lord took them up onto the mountain, and he privileges them to witness his glory. And they find it consoling. Peter wants to stay there, but the Heavenly Father intervenes to say, no, that's not really what this is about. You need to understand that you have to take heed to this because it's necessary for some things that are coming. And then, before you know it, everything is back to normal, and our Lord is there before them as he ordinarily is, not transfigured, but just under the guise of his lowly human nature. He says, and he tells them, "Arise and do not be afraid." And they lift their eyes, the evangelist tells us, and there's no one there but only Jesus. Only Jesus is there, as if it could actually say that only Jesus was present. But it's only the Jesus that they knew day in and day out, the one that did not reveal his glory to them, but spoke to them his doctrine and very often spoke to them in parables. The Jesus that told them that he is on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and to die and, yes, to rise again. And then he makes this mysterious statement at the very end, "Tell no one about what you've seen except until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead." And after this passage is finished, we get the impression that it really didn't make a lot of impression on them. What did he really mean by being raised from the dead? And so, you know, this is the dynamic in which our Lord very often works with us. He manifests himself to us in wonderful and mysterious ways, and the church speaks to us, God speaks to us through the church, reminding us of the things that we need to remember. And from time to time we experience consolation and also fear, but we need to hold in our hearts and remember the ways in which our Lord has prepared us, because the cross, you know, is always there. We're always standing in the shadow of the cross, and we move from the experience of consolation, you know, back to the cross. And in this life, it's probably more often the cross than the consolation. And it is the anchor of our Lord's words and teaching, the anchor of his revelation, the anchor of the things that we know to be true, the death and resurrection of the Lord and our access to these mysteries in the church, that is our sustenance, our consolation, and our guide throughout life. And these are the things that we can depend on. Other things we can't always depend on. We can't always depend on other people, and we can't depend on the plans that we make. You know, we live in very unstable times, as the recent news of the downgraded status of our credit rating in the United States indicates, you know, that things are very, very unstable, and we don't really know what the future has in store. But we know that our Lord will always be there to take care of us if we are willing to follow Him. And that is certain. Other things are not certain, but that is certain. And on this feast of the Transfiguration, we need to be grateful for the ways in which our Lord has manifested His presence in our lives and has promised us that He will be with us always into the end of time, which promise He fulfills, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so as we prepare to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we should ask Him for all the graces that we need to persevere and ask Him to manifest Himself to us so that we know that He is present, to assure us, to convince us that He is there and taking care of us and of His church, which He will never abandon, and which church the gates of hell shall not prevail against. The church will be and is always victorious because Christ is our King and Savior.